Good evening and welcome to our last karma session. I guess this will be our practice night as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wanted to just briefly talk about the next module, which is going to be relating to the spiritual teacher. And this is a really important piece because your relation, having a qualified teacher is essential to really understanding the path and learning and making progress. So we will be talking about the role of the teacher on the spiritual path, the need for a teacher, the qualities of the teacher and the qualities of the student, and how to relate to a teacher. So I think it'll be very, very helpful to folks who are new to this whole idea of having a teacher. We're going to take a break next week for Memorial Day, and then on June 1st, we'll start with spiritual teacher. There will be 5 sessions, 4 teaching sessions, and 1 practice day. So it will the all of June, and then the good news is we get summer vacation in July. We're going to take July off, and we'll resume in August with refuge. That's it.
That's all? Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the last session in the Discovering Buddhism module, All About Karma. Tonight we'll be working with the Vajrasattva practice that we started last week. And wanted to remind people that there is not a practice day for this module as originally was on the schedule, if you're wondering about that. But people are strongly encouraged to participate in the short Vajrasattva retreat, which will be the last weekend in July, and that's going to be at the Avila Retreat facility in Northern Durham, and it'll start Friday evening after work and go all day Saturday and half day Sunday. And Don Brown, who's very experienced with Vajrasattva practice and has done a 3-month Vajrasattva retreat, will be leading it, and he's going to be talking a lot about the logistics of doing a retreat, how you set up an altar, how you prepare your cushion, what sort of prayers you do to begin a retreat. We'll do a fire puja to end a retreat, so you'll get a lot of the technical information about doing a official Buddhist retreat in a very easy to digest manner. And it's short. It's convenient. All the food will be prepared, so there's nothing you have to worry about. You just have to come and participate in the retreat. Enrollment's going to be limited to 30 people, so pay attention to the website when they announce the enrollment. One of the requirements for doing the retreat is that you have taken Buddhist refuge. That's a prerequisite, and that's a brief ceremony where you acknowledge that the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha are your refuge. And Geshe Gelug will be offering refuge. It's a official ceremony. And that's going to be on Sakadawa, which is, Joanna, do you know another day? June 2nd. Okay. So that's coming up shortly. And you have to register for that because you're given a Tibetan name, and they need to make sure they don't run out of names. So there'll be information on the website about how to register for that. If you want to take refuge and you absolutely cannot make that ceremony, which will be in the evening, they're going to make plans for Geshe-la to offer a small private ceremony if there are a couple people who really want to take refuge but can't be here that evening. Okay, yeah. So, and also after the refuge ceremony, Geshe Gelug will be giving the official transmission of the Vajrasattva mantra, which you don't have to get before you do the retreat, but it will make it much more powerful if you're able to do so. That way you're getting it from a fully qualified master and an unbroken lineage from the historical Buddha himself. Yes. Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, right. Yeah, so I'll refer to this in a little bit, yeah. Vajrasattva. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great, thank you. Any questions about the retreat or about the class? Okay. Okay, so we'll begin with our prayers in the gold prayer book. And then do some meditation. So we'll start with the prayers on page 34. We'll be doing those in English. Is there going to be a discussion group tonight? Okay. If there's no, if people want to have an informal discussion after I finish the class, they'll meet outside at the big table. Okay, we'll start with refuge and bodhicitta three times. The four immeasurables, the seven limb prayer, and then the mandala offering. And we'll do those all in English. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free. All sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friend and hatred for enemies. Reverently I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative acts accumulated since beginningless time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for our living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the greatest. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryata Yami. Okay. So we said our prayers. We've tilled the soil in which we'll cast the seed of our meditation. So we'll begin with a meditation session. Take a moment to check your posture. Sitting with your back a little bit straighter than you normally sit. Head just a couple degrees in front of the vertical, but not tilted to one side or the other. Eyes either slightly opened or lightly closed. Mouth lightly closed. Tongue on the ridge of the upper gums above the teeth. Shoulders relaxed and down and a little bit back so your chest is opened up. Upper arms away from the sides of your trunk. And your hands with right on top of left. With the thumbs touching at the level of the navel or slightly below them. legs are in a position that you find comfortable and stable. If you're sitting on a cushion, sit a little bit towards the front so your pelvis is tilted open. If you're sitting on a chair, have your feet flat on the floor. It's fine to put a cushion underneath your feet. Don't lean back in your chair, but again, keep your back straight. So just examine your body, starting from the top and moving down. If there are any sources of tension or discomfort, address those now so that they don't become a distracting issue during the meditation. The posture, once you establish it, should be somewhat self-maintaining, not something that comes to mind over and over again during the meditation. And certainly that's something that develops with time also. It becomes more comfortable. But you should feel really rooted on your cushion or in your chair. Very solid, stable posture. And now we'll begin with a very simple version of the 9-round breathing. We close the left nostril with our right index finger. Breathe in and out 3 times. Then close the right nostril in and out 3 times. And then breathe in and out through both nostrils, with the stomach expanding on the in-breath, contracting on the out-breath. So our diaphragm is really pulled down as we breathe. And we allow our breathing to return to its normal pattern so that we don't have to pay attention to it right now. And we begin our meditation by setting our motivation. As much as possible, even if it seems difficult or unnatural, we generate the bodhicitta motivation. The motivation that everything I do, including this meditation and the discussion to follow, is done for the specific purpose of developing my mind and achieving enlightenment so that I can be of benefit to all living beings. The greatest thing I can do for others is to develop my qualities of wisdom and compassion, achieve enlightenment, so I can benefit all. And having set our motivation, we can now begin the actual meditation. And what we're doing a simple concentration meditation. The object of the meditation is the movement of the breath in and out through our nostrils. Just the physical sensation of air moving in and out at the opening of our nostrils. We place our mind, our awareness on that. So it can be said that the breath and the mind at that moment are of the same nature. There is no duality. There is direct perception of the breath. Mind perceiving breath. Mind filled by breath. Nothing more, nothing less than that. We're not counting the breath. We're not describing it. We're not visualizing it. Just the physical, tactile sensation of breath moving in and out. And every time we notice that our concentration has wandered off to some other object, to some sound, or a scratch we feel, or an itch we feel, or a remembrance of something that happened today, or a plan for something we have to do tomorrow, we just gently set that aside and come back to the breath over and over and over again. And that process of placing the mind on the breath and bringing it back is the meditation. And as always, we can end our meditation with a brief dedication. We acknowledge that we've done something out of the ordinary. We've put a little bit of effort into improving our mind, into developing our ability to concentrate, which is a necessary tool on our spiritual path. And we think, may that energy not dissipate, but may it ripen in a way as a benefit to all living beings. Okay, so tonight we'll continue with the Vajrasattva practice, which is a purification practice. Now that we have some understanding of what karma is about, and a realization that we've put a lot of negative imprints on our mind stream. Certainly in this lifetime we can remember a lot of things that we'd wish we hadn't done. And if we have any sense of previous lifetimes, we can imagine that we've created similar negative actions in the past. Negative actions not because the Buddha said we shouldn't do them, but because he taught us that the inevitable result of these actions is to cause suffering for ourselves in the future. So if we wish to avoid suffering, which I think most of us do, we would like to, if not remove, at least lessen the force of these karmic imprints that are on our mind stream. And this is why he taught us about the 10 negative actions that are to be avoided. Negative again because they're going to cause us suffering. We can start by avoiding those so we're not adding to the number of negative imprints on our mind stream. But we want to do something about, as we understand karma, we get a real sense of we want to do something about the mess that's already there. And that's where the Buddha taught us about purification practice. Now, until we have a direct perception of emptiness, which is the ultimate nature of all phenomena, we cannot remove those imprints completely from our mind stream, but we can lessen their strength. When we have a direct understanding of emptiness, the realization that nothing exists permanently or inherently or solidly, that everything is changeable, then those imprints, it said, can be removed completely. But most of us are not there yet. And one of the interesting things about this, as I mentioned this last week, is we're using the mind to purify itself. Okay, there's no God out there who's taking these negative imprints away. It is our mind doing the purification practice that is actually lessening these negative imprints. And as we've talked before, a complete purification practice, the most powerful one, has four components. Now, you can certainly do incomplete. You know, if you're just driving along in the car and you just want to recite some mantra or something, you're still doing purification practice, but it's not a complete one. So These are referred to frequently as the four powers. The first one is card-carrying Buddhists. Our refuge is the Buddha, the historical figure who taught. The Sangha, all the people who are following the teachings of the Buddha, or the Dharma, the actual teachings, and the Sangha. So we start our purification practice by getting in touch with what we hold to be valuable, our Buddhist refuge. And that's why if you're going to go to the retreat, it's important to do an actual refuge ceremony, to actually take refuge in a formal way before going to the retreat. Second one is regret, which I refer to sometimes as informed knowledge about the consequences of our actions. We know that we've done these things, and we wish we had regret that we did them, because we know they're going to cause problems in the future, which, again, is not synonymous with guilt, that we're a bad person or that we're being judged. It's a sincere sense of, I wish I hadn't done that, because that's going to cause problems. Okay? And that's considered a positive feeling, okay? That kind of regret. Guilt is very negative and doesn't lead anywhere in the Buddhist way of thinking. Regret, sincere regret about your negative actions. Okay, you don't want to regret your good actions, but regret about your negative actions is a very positive mental factor. Okay? Because it leads you not to perform those actions again. Refuge, regret. Third one is the remedy, which can be all sorts of things. It can be working in a soup kitchen. It can be going up to someone at work and apologizing to them. In the Vajrasattva practice, it involves visualization and mantra recitation that are said to be particularly powerful for purification. And the fourth is the resolve. Oops. The fourth is resolve, okay? An honest commitment not to do these negative actions again. And as you notice in the text, Lama specifies even for a couple seconds. If that's all you can manage, go with that. Don't promise never to tell a lie for the rest of all countless eons. That's not realistic. So it's a realistic resolve to avoid these negative actions. Any comments or questions about this so far? Yeah, Joanna.
This weekend, Geshe-la pointed out that regret, as you alluded to, can be both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're regretting a negative action, that's positive.
Yeah.
If you're regretting a positive action, that's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas guilt is negative.
Always negative. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do the Vajrasattva practice. So if you have the Xerox copy, get that. You don't have that in the silver prayer book. It begins on page 202.
Does everyone have one of the other?
And then the easier to use transliteration of the mantra is on the little half sheet. Do you have the silver prayer book? Oh, the silver one? Okay. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the statue? Oh, okay. And she said, buy that one. Did she get you a good price on it? Okay. Yeah, Joanna, are you going to join us? Okay, come on in. Okay, we've got Don Brown here who will be leading the retreat. We talked about a little bit, but yes, please tell us some more. Give the man a mic.
Okay, hey. So, everybody's here learning about karma, so that's good, because the light, this retreat, this Vajrasattva retreat, and Robbie's been teaching you this practice, you've been doing a little bit of it. So this is a great opportunity to purify negative karma. And to the degree that you have faith...
Hold the mic a little closer.
Oh, sorry. Okay. To the degree that you have faith that your karma, you know, ripening is the source of your happiness and misery, and that it's all coming from your mind and from your past actions, and we can, you know, clean up the past in the same sense that I'm sure Robbie said he's been using the example of weed in the garden. That if all the beautiful fruits and flowers and, you know, things that grow in a garden are being choked out by negative weeds, then there's no opportunity to experience the fruits of past virtues. So it is this retreat, I did it, I don't know, 1981 or something like that, and I did it for like I did it because I felt like I've got to clean up some of the mess. I really felt that way, and it was and I was only 30 years old at the time, and I did a longer retreat than we're going to do. We're just going to do 3 days, but the I think the motivation that's really important that you have for this is not just that you want to do this for yourself, but you want to do it because you want to be able to help others more effectively. And to do that, you have to clean yourself up. You have to get your stuff together. So that's the that makes it much, much more powerful, and it makes it a Mahayana practice. So purifying yourself, not only for yourself but for others, I think is a really crucial attitude. I just learned from Sarah Brooks that it's going to be at Avila Retreat Center, which is north of Durham. I don't know exactly where it is, but it'll be Friday evening, starting from 6 to 7. We can't get there any earlier than 6 to 7. There'll be a meal, and then there'll be a session, and then we'll do take precepts and do several sessions, probably at least 4, on Saturday. And those of you who've never really given this much time to your Dharma practice, this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is where the real benefits of practice come, is when we really put ourselves sort of on the cushion and work with the mind. This is really the opportunity to get to know your mind in a whole new way. And then Sunday morning we'll do one more session and a Dorji Kadro purification practice, which is a burning puja, the one we do at New Year's Eve here. And I think Sarah said it's about $150 is what Avila wants per person. It's the last weekend, so it starts Friday, last weekend in July, starts Friday evening between 6 and 7, and there'll be dinner served there, and then a session Friday, 4 sessions on Saturday. They will do 1 or 2 sessions, and then we'll see. Sunday will probably just be 1 session, and then Dorji Kadro and clean up and everything. So anyway, I'm hoping there's only 30 places available for us. So if you feel inclined to want to clean up your karmic garbage, this is a great opportunity to do it. And so I would encourage you to please come and join the party. But it'll be hard work, I promise you. This is not, cleaning up your karma. It takes work. But it's well worth the effort. I can say that for sure. In fact, it was the most powerful Dharma experience I ever had in all these 30-some years. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'll see.
This is going to be. So, is your mind, Sarah, was just talking to me about the trying to get it all organized. You know, there'll be an opportunity to go online and sign up and do all that.
So, it should be within the next week, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have to get all the forms loaded onto the website, which is not easy currently. Okay, so little plug for the retreat. Joanna's brought the statue of Vajrasattva. This is Vajrasattva without consort. And you'll have it on display outside afterwards for people to look at. Yeah. Has a very typically Asiatic kind, gentle face, dressed in lots of jewels and such. And I gave some misinformation last week when I said that the Vajra posture, Susie, this is in response to you, that the Vajra posture was with the hands out like that. That's incorrect. I checked up on that this week. And Vajra posture basically refers to sitting in the full lotus position and not so much to the position of your hands. As we see here, he's got his right hand at the level of his heart with the dorji, and his left hand down on his left knee with the bell. So that's Vajrasattva. So yeah, you can look at that. Thank you, Joanna, for bringing that. And then last week I also said that when we do this practice, if we haven't received initiation, we're not supposed to visualize the consort. And that may be incorrect in regard to this particular practice. So this is kind of a nebulous area right now. We're going to leave out the parts about the consort today. But from what I'm being told, Lama Zopa may have said it's okay to visualize both of them without having had the initiation. And I know that at the retreat, Don is going to be leading the full visualization with Vajrasattva and female consort. So just kind of chill your engines on that one. I wanted to go through the mantra again. Get the little half-page transliteration so we can go through that and just get familiar with this. And I'll repeat it, and you can repeat after me. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Deno Patita. So pat goes with the tita, yeah. Dido Mebawa Sutokayo Mebawa Supokayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarasidi Memprayatsa Sarakama Sutsame Sitam Shriyum Kuruhum Hahahaho Bhagawan Sarakatagata Vajra Mame Mutsa Vajra Bawa Mahasamuya Satva Ahumpe. Okay, we'll do it again a little faster. Om Vajra Satva Samuya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Deno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutokayo Mebawa Supokayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarasidi Memperyatsa Sarakama Sutsame Sita Shriyun Kuru Hum ha 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 ho, Bhagawan, Sawartata Gata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bhava Maha, Samuya Sattva Ahum Pe. Okay, we'll do it again even faster. It's got a little bit of rhythm to it until that last phrase, which is always kind of hard to get into any good rhythm. But up until then, you know, you can always regroup it. Ha 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 ho. If you're totally lost. Om Vajrasattva Samuya. Manu Palaya. Vajrasattva Denu Patita. Dido Me Bawa. Sutokayo me bawa. Supokayo me bawa. Anurakto me bawa. Sawasiddhi memprayatsa. Sawakama sutsame. Sitan shriyan kuru hum. Ha 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 ho. Bhagawan Sawartata Gata. Vajra Mame Mutsa. Vajra Bhava Mahasamuya. Sattva Ahum Pe. Okay, so that's, it's good to memorize it, and it's real, once you get the rhythm down, it's really not that hard to memorize it. You can usually do it in an hour or two of meditation practice, or even less, actually. And so Susie said that she put it on a tape recording and played it in your car as you're driving around. That's a good way. And once you get it in your mind, it's going to stay there. I promise you that. It will not go away. When you're doing it in retreat with other people, you're supposed to be saying it so softly that the people on each side of you can't hear you. But you're supposed to be articulating it distinctly with your lips, so you're not just bleh. So it's a blah, 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 blah. And people are really good, like, and I'm glad you didn't expect me to tell us, but after you do, you know, a 3-month Vajrasattva retreat, you can articulate the entire mantra in less than 10 seconds, yeah? You can do it in 7 or 8 seconds and get all 100 syllables out articulately. You train yourself to it. And the meaning of the mantra, according to this, is you, Vajrasattva, have generated the holy mind, which is bodhicitta, according to your pledge. Your holy mind is enriched with the simultaneous holy actions of releasing transmigratory beings from samsara, the wheel of suffering, cycle of suffering. Whatever happens in my life, happiness or suffering, good or bad, with a pleased holy mind, never give up, but please guide me. Please stabilize all happiness, including the happiness of the upper realms, actualize all actions in sublime and common realizations, and please make the glory of the 5 wisdoms abide in my heart. And don't ask me to explain what all that means, because I don't know. But, like I say, this is the mind, purifying the mind. We visualize, imagine, create Vajrasattva, this aspect of enlightenment who delights in purification. So we're using the mind to purify the mind. Any questions before we begin the practice? Okay, I'll read most of this, but there'll be some that we'll read together, and including the refuge prayer and the power of regret. And I'll read the rest, and then we'll do the mantra. We'll do it together 3 times, and then we'll say it to ourselves for a little while, and then we'll finish the practice. Okay? So if you need to stand up or wiggle or anything before we do this, but get comfortable. Page 202 in the silver prayer book. Okay? Yeah, it's very good. We got the gold prayer book and the silver prayer book. And don't get them confused. Mm-hmm. Just these two, is that? Okay, page 202, the actual practice. And I'll read this first, the visualization, setting our motivation, and then we'll read the taking refuge together three times. Again, begin by checking your posture. Visualize as follows. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother. So when we use the word visualize, we're talking about imagine, your mind's ability to imagine. And the more real you make what these imaginations, the more power the practice has. Your enemies and those sentient beings who make you agitated are in front of you. And your friends and those whom you are attached to are seated behind you. All other universal beings in human form are surrounding you as far as you can imagine. So establish that part of the visualization. The visualization becomes more and more elaborate as the purification practice goes on, and then we add the mantra to it. So establish the visualization first. Visualize your objects of refuge in the space in front of you. And why don't we just imagine the historical Buddha here? We don't need to get into the merit field. That's a little complicated right now. So we visualize the historical Buddhas in front of us. And he embodies both the historical Buddha, all the teachings, and all the Sangha, all the followers of the teachings. And as we recite the refuge prayer together three times, we think that in addition to ourselves, all sentient beings are taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha also. Those friends, enemies, strangers who completely surround us. So let's read the power of dependence, taking refuge. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. So let's take a moment and just think about what refuge means and why we consider the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha suitable objects of refuge. What are their qualities that we admire and aspire to? And now the power of regret. And first recall the definition of negative karma. Any actions that results in suffering. usually an action motivated by ignorance, attachment, or aversion. And then we can read this paragraph together. Almost every action I do, 24 hours a day, is motivated by worldly concern, attachment to the comfort of this life, to death, to this life, and has been like that from beginningless rebirth. Nearly every action I have ever created has been non-virtuous, the cause of suffering. Not only that, but continuously I have also been breaking my pratimoksha, bodhisattva, and tantric vows. Worst of all, I have created the heaviest of negative karmas in relation to my virtuous friends, getting angry at them, generating wrong views, having non-devotional thoughts towards them, harming their holy body, and disobeying their advice. Having these negative imprints on my mental continuum is unbearable. It's as if I have swallowed a lethal poison. I must practice the antidote right away and purify all this negative karma immediately, without a second's delay. So now we generate strong feeling of regret, an honest admission to ourselves that I have done negative actions. They will cause me suffering in the future. My response is not despair or depression, but one, a firm commitment that I want to stop doing these actions, and two, I want to find an antidote for those that I've already done. It's as if I've drunken poison that I know will cause me to suffer. So I stop drinking the poison and I search for an antidote. I apply the antidote of purification. So regret, if we think about it in the terms that the Buddha is talking about, it's a very strong motivating force. It motivates us to change. We don't become depressed. We don't fall into despair. But it's like we have a fire built under us to do something about these negative actions. And having generated a sense of regret, now we'll just think briefly about impermanence and death. This is very typical of Lama Zopa to add something like this to the traditional format. So you can just think about this as I read this out loud. Many people my age or younger have died. It's a miracle that I'm still alive and have this incredible opportunity to purify my negative karma. Death is certain, but its time is most uncertain. If I were to die right now, I would definitely be born in the lower realms. Because I could not practice Dharma there, I would remain in the lower realms for countless eons. Therefore, how unbelievably fortunate I am to be able to purify my negative karma right now without even a second's delay by practicing the Vajrasattva meditation recitation. But I am not practicing this Vajrasattva purification for myself alone. The purpose of my life is to release all hell beings, pretas, animals, humans, asuras, suras, and intermediate state beings from all their suffering and its causes, and lead them to unsurpassed enlightenment. In order to do this, I must first reach enlightenment myself. Therefore, I must purify all my negative karma immediately by practicing the Vajrasattva meditation recitation. And now we'll establish the visualization. And this is a little bit different than we did it last week. We want to maintain the visualization of our parents, family, friends, enemies around us, the objects of refuge in front of us. And then above the crown of our head, on an open lotus blossom and a moon disc, a circular radiant white disc, sits Vajrasattva in the form in the statue, beautiful, compassionate face, Vajra in the right hand at his heart, the Dorje or the bell in his left hand on his left knee, sitting in full lotus posture. He's made of light. He's life-size, three-dimensional, and real. He has one face, two arms holding a Dorjean bell. Vajrasattva is my root guru, the holy mind of all the Buddhas, the Dharmakaya, who out of his unbearable compassion, which embraces me and all other sentient beings, appears in this form to purify me and all others. So what we're doing here is we are seeing Vajrasattva as being one with our guru or teacher of this life, if we have one. If you don't have a relationship with a guru, that's fine. Just imagine Vajrasattva there. But if you do have a guru or a teacher in this life, it's very important that you see that Vajrasattva and your teacher are of the same nature, indistinguishable. It's really the way we connect to these meditational images, through our teacher of this life. That gives them their reality, their flesh and blood for us. And what the text says, in this way, our mind is transformed into guru devotion, the root of all blessings and realizations of the path to enlightenment. So our guru of this life is our conduit to enlightenment. And this is what's meant by guru devotion, which is a whole other subject. But that'll be talked about some in the next module. But the guru of this lifetime is our pathway to connect with all the teachers. And then we visualize that at Vajrasattva's heart, three-dimensional again, is a white moon disc with the syllable HUM at the center, and around the rim of the disc, standing on the edge, all the way around the rim of the disc, are the letters of the 100-syllable mantra. And then we visualize that white light flows from the HUM and the mantra down through Vajrasattva and enters our body through the crown of our head and fills us like liquid flowing in from the top, completely fills our body with radiant white light so that we are cleansed of all sickness, spirit harm, negative karma and obscurations, so that we have a sense we're being purified. Okay, so take a minute and work with that visualization. You know, if it's new to you, you can't add in all the details, but do get a real sense of Vajrasattva above your head, white light flowing down and filling your entire body. And now let's recite the mantra together three times, and then we can recite it silently to ourselves. So we're maintaining the visualization, the visual part. We're adding the sound of the mantra. And when we're new to the practice, the mantra kind of takes over and we forget about the visualization. But when we're more comfortable with it, the visualization really is the important part, and the mantra is just going on in the background. It's almost like we don't even have to think about the mantra. But when we're new to it, it's natural to concentrate on the mantra. Om Vajrasattva Samuya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Trido Me Bawa Suto Kayo Me Bawa Supo Kayo Me Bawa Anurakto Me Bawa Sawar Siddhi Memparyatsa, Sawar Kama Sutsame, Siddhim Shriyam Kuru Hum, Ha 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 Ho, Bhagawan, Sawar Tata Gata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bawa, Maha Samuya, Sattva Ahum Pe. Om Vajra Sattva Samuya, Manupalaya, Vajra Sattva Denupatita, Dido Me Bawa, Suto Kayo Me Bawa, Supo Kayo Me Bawa, Anurakto Me Bawa, Sawa Siddhi Memprayatsa, Sawa Kama Sutsame, Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hum, Ha 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 Ho, Bhagawan, Sawa Tata Gata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bawa Maho Samuya, Safa Ha Hum Pe. Om Vajra Safu Samuya, Manupalaya, Vajra Safu Denupatita, Dido Me Bawa, Suto Kayo Me Bawa, Supo Kayo Me Bawa, Anurakto Me Bawa, Sawar Siddhi Memprayatsa, Sawar Kama Sutsame, Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hum, Ha 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 Ho, Bhagawan, Sawar Tata Gata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bawa Maha Samuya, Sattva Ahum Pe. And now recite it to yourself at whatever speed you prefer. Om Vajrasapa Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasapa Denupatita Dido Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurakta Me Bawa Sarasiddhi Meparyatsa Sarakama Sutame Siddham Shriyam Kuru Hum Ha Bhagawan Saratatagata Vajramami Vajrabawa Ma Samaya Sapa Hum Pe. Reestablish the visualization if it's faded somewhat while you're concentrating on the mantra. Vajrasattva is still above your head. You're completely filled with beautiful, radiant white light. And from the crown of our head, Guru Vajrasattva says, "Child of the race, your negativities, obscurations, and broken and damaged pledges have been completely purified. Generate strong faith that all is completely purified, just as Guru Vajrasattva has said." And maintaining the visualization, we can recite the power of restraint together at the top of page 205. "Before Guru Vajrasattva, I vow never again to commit these negative actions from which I can easily abstain, and not to commit for a day, an hour, or at least a few." In fact, I find it difficult to abstain. Okay, now continuing with the visualization. "Guru Vajrasattva is extremely pleased with your pledge. Vajrasattva, Father, melts into light and dissolves into you." So Vajrasattva above your head dissolves into light and completely fills your body. "Your body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Guru Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind." So now we're visualizing or imagining that my body, speech, and mind are inseparable from the body, speech, and mind of my guru of this lifetime and of Vajrasattva. Indistinguishable. Same characteristics and qualities. All the qualities that they have realized, I have realized also. So we imagine that. That's really the essence of these visualization meditations, where we become one with the guru and the meditational image. And it's said that this experience, when we really get good at this meditation, is one of complete bliss. This non-duality with the guru. But, Lama Zopa reminds us, at the same time we have to remember, in emptiness there is no I, creator of negative karma. There is no action of creating negative karma. There is no negative karma created. By this he means no inherently, independently existence. So even our guru of this lifetime and Vajrasattva are empty of inherent existence. And my negative actions of body, speech, and mind are empty of inherent existence. Place your mind in that emptiness for a little while. In this way, look at all phenomena as empty. They do not exist from their own side. With this awareness of emptiness, We'll read the dedication at the bottom of page 205. Due to all these merits of the three times collected by all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, myself, and all other sentient beings, which appear to be real from their own side, but which are empty, may I, who appears to be real but is empty, attain Guru Vajrasattva's enlightenment, which appears to be real but is empty, and lead all sentient beings who appear to be real but are totally empty to that enlightenment which appears to be real but is empty by myself alone, who appears to be real but is also totally empty, non-existent from my own side. May the precious bodhicitta, the source of all happiness and success for myself and all other sentient beings, be generated within my own mind and in the minds of all sentient beings without even a second's delay, and may that which has been generated be increased. May I and all other sentient beings have Lama Tsongkhapa as our direct guru in all our lifetimes, never be separated for even a second from the pure path that is greatly praised by the conqueror Buddhas, and actualize the complete path, the three principal paths and the two stages of highest yoga tantra, the root of which is guru devotion, within our minds as quickly as possible. Just as the brave Manjushri and Samantabhadra realize things as they are, I dedicate all these virtues in the best way, that I may follow after them. Whatever dedication the three-time victorious ones gone to bliss have admitted is best, in the same way, I also perfectly dedicate all these roots of virtues so that I may perform good works. Okay, and that's a brief Vajrasattva practice. Any comments or questions? Okay, in the back.
Thank you. I had a question about the regret principle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So regret is something that you wish you hadn't done, action that was negative. Can regret also be something you wish you had done?
Yeah.
That
yes.
Was just inaction?
Yes, very much so. And when you get into certain levels of the vows, the bodhisattva vows and the tantric vows, one of your vows is when an opportunity, or some of the vows are when opportunities are presented to do virtuous actions, that you do them. You take a vow to do that. So when they refer to broken vows, that's not doing good things that could have been done. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, good question. Anyone else? Mm. Okay, wait for the mic.
We just went through that elaborate visualizing, and then the emptiness, just that part of it kind of blew me away, that nothing really existed from its own side.
Yeah, but you haven't taken the course on emptiness yet, have you? Yeah, it's bringing, one of the last modules. It's important to realize when we talk about emptiness, it's not saying that things don't exist, okay? It's saying that they don't exist the way we think they do. Okay, they exist primarily in dependence upon my mind, and we don't realize that. Yeah, so the fact that our negative actions are empty is what allows us to purify them. If they existed inherently, independently, they'd be permanent. We couldn't do anything about them. But it's the fact that they exist in dependence upon my mind is what makes purification a possibility, actually.
Thank you.
Mm. But that's very Lama Zopa, that last part, where every bit of it is not real but doesn't exist from its own side. Yeah. That's his flavor, definitely. Okay, so thank you, everyone. It was a great class. Thank you very much. How many people are thinking about going to the retreat? Okay, I'm going. Are you going for sure, Joanna? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, okay, good. So we'll have it's the last weekend in July.
23rd, 24th, 25th.
Okay, thank you, yeah. Okay, so maybe this class will fill it up and no, No one else will get to come. But, yeah, definitely watch on the website for the registration. I'm going to take it. Donna Cease is going to be there. So it'll be really good. If you'd like to make a donation to support Kadampa Center, we have to keep the lights on and the air conditioning. Their donation boxes and everything is greatly appreciated. And thank you very much. Yes.
One last thing. I think it'll be announced via email. True?
On the listserv?
Well, usually you sign up to have emails every time something comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
If you are signed up that way, you don't have to keep obsessively checking.
Yeah. If you're not on the listserv,
but
if you're not
getting... But obsessively check your mail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to go to Yahoo Groups and join Kadampa Center. Yeah. Do you have information on that? Yeah, maybe look it up. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Yahoo group, Kadampa Center. And sign up. Yeah. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Wait till after the retreat, okay? You can do, I will accept completion cards without the Vajrasattva retreat because I know the dates just don't work for somebody. But if you're going to do the retreat, wait till after that and turn it in then. Okay? Yeah. So you'll get extra credit for doing that.
You get a little gold card.
Yeah. You'll get extra good karma for that.